Bowman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios on a Titans Monday. The Titans embarrassed against the Indianapolis Colts, a team without their starting quarterback, without their best offensive player, Jonathan Taylor, without their best defensive player, DeForest Buckner, the 32nd ranked defense in the league, 31st against the run, 29th going into yesterday against the pass. They lost to him by 3 points. They threw for 95 yards. Oof. And you thought rock bottom was losing to Malik Willis at home, which was bad. This might have been right up there. Now, let me say this. I'm a Titans fan through and through. Some people will argue they're bigger than me. You can't be a bigger Titan fan than I am. There's no way in your day that you think about the Titans or talk about the Titans more than I do. I do it for 4 hours, and this show doesn't produce itself. Number two, I went to the first game. They played Cincinnati. They won by a point. Al Del Greco hit a field goal at the end. They had to get a safety to get back in the game. Steve McNair got hurt. They turned it over to Neil O'Donnell. I remember when Yancey Thigpen made a one-handed catch in that game in Game 2 against Cleveland. I remember on my birthday, I turned 10, Neil O'Donnell went on the road, and they beat Jacksonville, who was a Super Bowl contender. So I know the Titans. I lived the pain of the Mike Munchak era that turned into an even worse Ken Wisenhunt era. I love my football team. And the thing I love about my job is that I get to talk about the teams I care about. And trust me, I don't take it for granted. I remember doing the pregame shows and thinking to myself, man, I'm up here doing the pregame show with Floyd Reese, the great Titans general manager, and Derek Mason, who was on those teams that I just worshipped as a kid. That being said, I'm not upset the Titans lost yesterday. In fact, I'm kind of glad. Generally speaking, the idea of rooting for a loss is a bad thing. And I wasn't sitting there yesterday watching the game saying, please lose, like I did at the end of the 2015 season when they lost to Josh Freeman in Indianapolis so they could secure the number one pick. But I wasn't upset about it either. And I'm serious about that. That Indy team yesterday was total and complete garbage. Their coach is a moron. Their defensive coordinator would have been fired after the game if the Titans had won, because Jim Irsay takes losing to the Titans personally. And after their defense gave up 380 yards to Trevor Lawrence, I think the 3rd and 19 run up the middle for a touchdown probably was the icing on the cake. I really believe if Indy had lost that game yesterday, Gus Bradley would be out of a job today. That's how bad Indy is right now. And yet, I think you needed this. It's almost like a spanking. I'll have a child soon. Probably not going to spank my kid. But it's like a spanking when you say, this hurts me more than this hurts you. The Titans need the embarrassment of losing to one of the most beleaguered teams in the league right now because your quarterback couldn't throw for 100 yards against the worst defense in the league. You needed the reality check that just because you bought some random big-name free agents this offseason didn't mean you'd have a winning team. Your high-priced receiver doesn't catch passes, and your high-paid corner turned into a nice burnt piece of toast. I'm glad the Titans didn't eke one out yesterday afternoon against a terrible team that didn't have its best offensive or defensive player to mask the problems that this organization has at the foundation of their group. And I'm glad that no fan who, I guess, you know, and there was a lot of this, I'm glad that no Titan fan that was lobotomized by the team this offseason with the Titan Sunshine Pumping Program, I'm glad that they didn't win on Sunday so that we're not sitting here saying, well, hold on now. You're not out of the playoff race. The playoffs are a possibility. because you beat Indy, the 32nd ranked defense in the league, the team that just lost to Jacksonville, the team that, again, was playing a backup quarterback. I don't want to – playoffs? You want to talk about the playoffs? I just hope you win a game. The reality is the Titans have serious problems, and it's not just about the quarterback. Again, I started the show, and I said, you can talk about Rudolph and Levis all you want. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference. You're going to lose with Will Levis at quarterback. You're going to lose a little bit less with Mason Rudolph, but you're not going to win. It's reality. The general manager, the president of football operations, the head coach, the Sunshine Group. Remember when Rand said this offseason they checked off every box they needed to on offense, from every starter to the furthest backup? And yet here we are in week six and they don't have a right tackle. The owner decided, no, I know what's best for my organization, and fired her general manager at 7-5 in first place, coming off back-to-back division titles, three straight playoff appearances, because that wasn't good enough. I know how the Titans operate. I know that the Titans cannot accept the context of a victory when, again, it doesn't really mean much. They can't accept the context of what that win against Indy would have meant, which is nothing. I don't feel anything good about Indianapolis if I was an Indy fan because they won that game. And quite frankly, losing that game gets you closer to the number one overall pick. And I hate to say it, but you could use the number one overall pick. Even if there's not a quarterback out there, there are always good players to be had in every single draft. You remember the trade down in 2016? Jack Conklin, Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith. Trade downs aren't bad either. So, again, while I love the Titans, I love my football team. And I'm sure after the last 16 months or however long it's been, I'm sure the Titans don't love me right now. And that's okay. But I actually think it was a good thing that they didn't win yesterday. Because if they had won yesterday, Brian Callahan's used this line. He used it after the Miami game where, congratulations, you beat a backup quarterback who couldn't throw. And he used it today when he said that he still has confidence in Will Levis and whatnot, and that he wanted to win because it validates the process. It validates the work they put in. Well, maybe that work they put in isn't worth validation. And a win against Indianapolis would have been an empty calorie victory that would have set the franchise in a direction of trying to pretend they were something that they weren't. Guys, this is the Big Short. The housing market in this case is the Tennessee Titans. The front office, from Amy to Burke Nihil to Chad Brinker, the two presidents they have, to Rand Carthon, to Brian Callahan, and all the sunshine pumping, they're the big banks. And I'm one of the guys who looks at the underlying fundamentals of the market and said, this doesn't add up. But Jared, we spent so much money in free agency. Well, you really didn't. You have the 22nd best payroll in the NFL. You're not even in the top half of the league. The reason you could spend money is because you let good players like Derrick Henry go to other teams. The underlying fundamentals. You don't have a right tackle. But Jared, Bill Callahan will fix it. Did he? I also love the fact that every single person's like, yeah, the offensive line wasn't that bad yesterday. Yeah, who's on Indy's defensive front? Quiddy Pay? Won't be that same way the next week against Buffalo on the road, I can promise you that. T'Vondre Sweat, had a nice game against Miami. He didn't have a earth-shattering game. You can argue Sebastian Joseph Day had a better game. But Titan fans, after the Miami game where he dominated Aaron Brewer, they said, Tavondre Sweat is the man. He's awesome. He's so good. He's... Again, context. You're playing Aaron Brewer. Yesterday against Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly, Tavondre Sweat, no sacks, no quarterback hits, no pressures. Way to go, guys. Again, I'm fine with winning meaningless games if you understand what the value of that win is. What I'm not okay with is the idea of winning games that don't really mean you're good, but then allow you to pretend that you're something you're not. And I know the Titans, and I know the hierarchy that they have, and I know that they would not have been able to process a victory yesterday appropriately. So while I love my football team, I'm not disappointed they lost yesterday. And I'm not going to be disappointed if they're 1-6. After they go to Buffalo and Detroit. Because, again, the foundation has problems. And I don't need a little paint to cover it up. 615-737-1025. We're to your phone. 615-737-1025. Plus, the one thing that I wonder if Amy has the same passion she said she had only a couple years ago when things were good. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. And your phones here on the program, 615-737-1025. Predators fans, do not miss this Wednesday night. Smashville Live at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, 6 o'clock. See your Predator star players up close and personal. And the player guests will be Tommy Novak and Yusso Parsonen. That's this Wednesday night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs.
As I've said time and time again, I will never shy away from saying that I have extremely high expectations for our football team and really our entire organization. I expect us to build a team that is going to have sustained success and bring Lombardi trophies to the city of Nashville. I am confident that we have put the right pieces in place to bring that goal to life and build a future that Titan fans will be proud of.
That was Amy Adams Strunk when they hired Brian Callahan saying, I have high expectations. I want Lombardi trophies. And I think we've got the right leaders with Callahan and Ran and Chad and our brand new organization structure. If you're keeping score at home, this is the third year in a row that the Titans have made some major management announcement. 3 years ago, it was the extension of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Hand in hand, they're going to lead us for many years to come. Then they didn't. Then it was Carthon and Vrabel. These two are going to lead us to the next era of Titan football. And then they didn't. And now we have this. And every single time Amy Adams-Strunk has cited her high expectations. Every single time. So let me say this. I wouldn't fire Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker today. I would be planning to, if I owned the team, I'd be planning to fire them at the end of the year. But when John Robinson got fired in 2022 ahead of the Jacksonville game while sitting at 7-5 in first place in the AFC South, Amy Adams-Strunk used the excuse at the time that she had made up her mind and it wasn't fair to John Robinson to let him continue as general manager of, again, a team that had already been past the trade deadline. There weren't any big roster movement moments, whether it's the free agency period, the draft, whatever. The trade deadline had already passed. But in 2022, Amy Adams-Strunk, after being goaded into doing an interview, was sit down with Teresa Walker, because you know she's not going to do a press conference. Amy Adams-Strunk said that she had made up her mind. She didn't feel like it was even fair to John to keep him on. Here's what she said.
Honestly, I had made the decision. It was time to move forward. There was no reason to, like, you know, go 6, 7, 8 weeks, however long we remain in the season. It was not fair to John. It was not fair to the team.
It just seemed the right thing. It gives us plenty of opportunity now to identify future candidates that we're going to interview, to get to know watch the internal candidates. It's, I'm just not that person that's going to sit on a decision like that.
Okay. She actually was lauded. People said, Amy put her foot down. She had seen enough. Should be noted, John Robinson won 61% of his games, and again, they were 7-5 and in first place. They lost that Jacksonville game that next week. They lost every game the rest of the season, and they didn't make the playoffs because of it. They were 7-5 for that season. They've won 7 games since. So that takes me to, again, Brinker and Carthon. If that's how Amy operates, that I had made up my mind, I had put my foot down, I had made my decision, then why are we not talking about firing Carthon and Brinker? Like, do we think there's still meat on the bone? Do we think this team is improving? Do you think that this team this year is better than the team was last year? Do you think this team is better than they were the day John Robinson got booted out the door? I think you know the answer to that. In my opinion, they've only made the team infinitely worse. I mean, drafting guards with the 11th overall pick? Still don't have a right tackle. The quarterback they've picked is awful. Their free agent signings don't do anything. And the head coach is in over his head. So, again, going back to Robinson, if that was our previous standard of 7-5's not good enough because I don't like some of the moves that have been made, so I'm going to fire them, what does it say about this group? Shouldn't that still be our current standard? Again, she gets up there every year and says, I have high expectations. You lost to Malik Willis by double digits at home. Have your expectations been met? If I had told you the day John Robinson got fired, because a lot of people were upset about the Julio trade or the AJ trade or the Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley picks, and I wasn't happy about those either. I mean, I was okay with the AJ trade of all things, but the Julio trade I thought was crazy when it happened, and I was the one who was a hater. Again, it was the, I trust John Robinson more than you. And the same people that said, I trust Bill Callahan more than you. As Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? But again, if I had said to you the day John Robinson got fired, if I had said, hey, 2 years from now, you'll be the worst team in the league and you'll lose at home by double digits to Malik, would you have accepted that standard? Would she have accepted that standard? So again, I'm not saying I'd fire these guys right now. I would fire them at the end of the year. But that's because I think they're snake oil salesmen. But if that was her previous standard, and that wasn't good enough, then why are we not talking about firing them now? If anything, it would make more sense to fire them now than it did Robinson when she did, because, number one, this team isn't in contention for anything. Number two, there's still a trade deadline to come in 22 days. And if you don't think these guys are up to snuff, then why would you let them run your trade deadline? Again, you said that it wasn't fair to the team or fair to John Robinson. You said it wasn't fair to him to let him finish out the season when there were no more roster moves to be made. So now you're going to say, well, hold on, but, you know, it's not fair to these guys. Even though there is still a roster period to address, there is the trade deadline. And there are pieces to be traded. So again, I'm not saying they should fire Carthon and Brinker today. And I wouldn't fire Carthon and Brinker today. But if our standard, and I'm really talking about her standard because that was beneath my standard, to fire John Robinson when they did. I don't care who the general manager is. It could be Attila the Hun. And I wouldn't have fired the general manager unless he had done something where you got to immediately fire somebody and escort him out the building kind of thing. An HR issue. But I'm not firing anybody in that instance. But her standard's different than my standard. If that's her previous standard, Why not have the same energy today? Serious question. I'm just saying. 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Adam.
It's because she's not firing him. That's why. That's the standard. Look, dude, you're so incredibly off base today. I don't know. You probably don't want to hear that. But just give me a second here because you like to pull the trigger on this one. If your heart's bad, your organs will start to shut down. Everything will shut down. You get your heart fixed, they're good again. It's not like the organs are bad. It's just the heart's bad. That's Levis. He's the heart, man. He's bad. He's poisoning everybody. I think our team is infinitely better than it was last year. I think we got a horrible quarterback that cannot play. He's lost it. All right. It's the same thing when they made the Marcus switch to Tannehill. Everybody thought Arthur Smith sucks. He's got to get out of town. Corey Davis sucks. Let's not give him any more money. Don't extend John U. Jack Conklin sucks. Let's not give him that fifth year. Why? Because Marcus poisoned everybody, man. He made everybody look bad.
Jack Conklin had two ACL tears.
But you're telling me right now that Calvin really forgot how to play football? Are you telling me right now that our line completely, everybody on our line sucks and doesn't know how to play football?
Yes.
No, it's the quarterback.
Yes, the line sucks. I am telling you right now the line sucks.
If I'm telling you right now that I think you're wrong for looking at it like everybody sucks. Do I want the coach fired? Hell yeah. But why? Not because I don't think he's been auditioned very well. I think he needs to be fired because he committed right after that Miami game back to Levis. I hated that. I wanted him fired for that. But not for his ability to coach. I don't think we've seen him coach.
You don't want to fire the guys that picked Levis. You don't want to fire the guys that didn't get a real backup quarterback in here behind Levis. And you don't want to fire the guy who said that he could turn Levis into a star.
I didn't say that. All I'm saying, crazy thing to say, right? He tied himself to him, so fire him. But I'm just saying, dude, like, I think you're putting it like this whole team is way worse. I don't think it is. I think we don't know what it is. That's the whole point. Like, we're all sitting here. We don't know what our team could be without Levis. Rudolph came in and won a game. Why are you so committed to the Bills, dude? I absolutely think Mason Rudolph could beat the Bills. Maybe that would spark the team, and they could beat the Bills. If they start Mason Rudolph, I would be willing to bet that they would beat the Bills. They're not that good.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Adam. Anybody that comes on the show and says the offensive line doesn't suck, come on now. what are we doing here? Like, I really am not sure the offensive line is any good. I mean, I'm not sure the offensive line stinks. Dude. Your offensive line's awful. Again, Pro Football Focus wrote, after the win against Miami, it's like you would think that they didn't give up a lot of sacks so that it was actually, it wasn't. The line's terrible. The reason why the line wasn't terrible yesterday is because Indianapolis doesn't have anybody on their defensive line, and the one guy they do have is hurt. That's why. They had a bunch of Scarbini backups in there. That's why. I'm not sure the line's that bad. I'm not sure our team's that bad. I'm not sure. But I think it's just the quarterback. So the guys who picked the quarterback and the guy who, you know, swore up and down all offseason about the quarterback, Brian Callahan had to put his pants back on after every podcast interview that he did for the way he was talking about Will Levis. And you want to put him in charge and say, go find me the next quarterback? Give me a break. Give me a break. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So a lot of you guys are texting in, tweeting in, talk Vandy, talk Vandy, talk Vandy, talk Vandy. Well, let me say this. There is, because I think a lot of people think that I enjoy ripping on the Titans, and that's not true. But there is proof that me telling it like it is, giving the hard truths, keeping it real, apparently actually does help these teams win. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
It's funny, before we came out, A.J. Highsmith and I were in, you know, my office, and I'm straightening up my desk because my wife is coming to practice today, so Lord knows I got to have it clean before she comes in.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the sheet that the offensive staff had broke down in terms of our needs going into the offseason. And, you know, I'll show you guys later, but we literally checked every single box.
Wow.
From what we felt like we needed in starters to the furthest backup. and we were able to hit every single one of those. So, and that's what we really set out to do. Really set out to, wasn't necessarily like, hey, we got to flip this roster, but it was like, let's fill these holes and these needs that we have.
That was Rand Carthon in training camp. Boy, they got every need checked. And here we are 6 weeks into the season, and they don't have a right tackle. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a right tackle. The receivers are all mad about not getting the ball, etc. So there's a bunch of Vanderbilt fans that have texted in today that are saying, talk Vandy, talk Vandy, talk Vandy. And so I'm going to with this, which is, I think sometimes people think that I like ripping on the Titans. I have told you that I am a big Titan fan. I am. I think I can go toe-to-toe with anybody, even the people that have covered this team from day one, about Titans history. And I think I can go toe-to-toe and hold my own. Now, not like the inner workings of what happened, because I wouldn't know any of that before I was in the media. But I'm talking about actual games and things that went down and which year was this. And some of that's because I think I've got pretty good recall. But again, I'm passionate about my team. So I think a lot of people think, which is not true, that I get on the air and I just want to scream about the Titans because I hate the Titans. No, I tell it like it is. And apparently, Ian, I use the word apparently here.
Yes.
Apparently that helped Vandy win a football game on Saturday. I think, right?
I don't know.
So on Friday's program, we did one segment on the Vanderbilt-Kentucky game. And the whole premise of my opinion was, I'm not mad at Vanderbilt for spending the entire week basking in the glory of the Alabama victory, you know, doing every interview, etc., taking advantage of the spotlight. I wasn't upset about it. I understood it. But at the same time, I was worried that they were going to be fat and happy. They were going to get rat poisoned by their victory. I was worried about that. And then on Friday afternoon, I saw Diego Pavia dropped his brand new podcast with the first episode. And I thought, oh, no, 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 no. If they're doing a podcast. And I talked about how, who cares about the podcast? I'm focused on Kentucky. I want to focus on Kentucky. That's all I want. And I talked about how the Hawk Tua girl turned her 15 minutes into fame into a podcast that apparently people listen to. I don't, but hey, I appreciate the hustle. Hawk Tua girl. I got a message yesterday. Somebody said, I have no idea if you actually said this or not, but one of the coaches on Vanderbilt staff relayed to Diego Pavia that you compared his media tour last week to that of the Hawk Tua girl. He was so pissed when he heard that he went, got his lunch, and sat in the corner all by himself, away from the team, stewing about it. I said, that can't be true. They said, apparently it was. And again, all I did was talk about how, like, hey, the Hawk Tua girl has a podcast now. And I'll tell you, Vandy did not play on Saturday like they were rat poison from the Alabama game. So I'd like to congratulate myself on what I call reverse rat poisoning Vandy. And kudos, by the way, to Vandy, if this is actually true. Because I bet you, Ian, this is what I think happened. I think the Vandy coaching staff was, I think they were looking for somebody to say something. Because everything was so positive after they beat Alabama that they were looking for somebody to say something that they could take to Diego Pavia and say, hey, they said this about you.
Humble them.
Because, well, especially him, because I think they know he's a dog. And so it's like, oh, he's the kind of guy who hears something like that and it makes him play better. Whereas maybe Will Levis hears something like that and he shrinks up a little bit. And so, again, all I did was just say, like, hey, the Hawk Tua girl's got a podcast. She can get anybody on it now. But, I mean, I don't care about that, just like I don't care about Diego Pavia's podcast. And apparently, Diego Pavia was not happy and took it out on the Kentucky Wildcats. And for that, I salute Vandy and I salute Diego Pavia. And maybe if the Titans would listen every now and then, instead of getting back, Jared Stillman hates us, you can do that. Or you can say, you know what? Jared Stillman's been really adamant, very vocal about a right tackle situation. Like, maybe we should get one. That's all I'm saying. That's it. And you get two choices in life when something's not going your way or you hear something you don't like or something. You have two choices, as Chris Sanders would say. What are they?
That's right. You can get better or get bitter.
And Vanderbilt gets better. I think the Titans just get bitter. They get mad at me. By the way, it should be noted, I said on the six-pack picks, I said I would be happy to lose on Vandy and Oregon. I was driving back from the Jelly Roll concert in Louisville Friday night, or Saturday night, excuse me. Jelly Roll, by the way, puts on a freaking killer show. And every seat in the stadium was full. But so I was driving back from the Jelly Roll show, was listening to the Vandy game on the radio, it's a Kentucky radio call. And I mean, between that and watching the Oregon game on my phone, I was so happy to have guessed, to have picked both games incorrectly. I was thrilled beyond measure. I'm happy for Vanderbilt. Let's go back to your phones. Vincent's in California is up next here on our program. Vincent, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. What's that? Vincent's up next. Did I say in California?
You did, but that's okay.
Vincent up next on Brian Callahan. I'm sorry, I can't read today. Vincent, go ahead.
All right, so first off, thanks for bringing the receipts. We need the receipts in this going forward, because the excuse, we've got to run them out of excuses. So good. Thank you for bringing the receipts, doing your job. We love you out here. But anyway, these fans, I just cannot understand. Am I watching the same game that they are? Play wild card? I mean, what are they? No, I mean, all right. So, dude from Portland calls and says about the quarterback. He's poison killing the team. No, you change the quarterback. Is that going to make Ridley go up and fight for a 50-50 ball more? No, it's not. That's one of the biggest things right now with the receivers. They won't battle for a 50-50 ball. But anyways, the reason I called is this. I don't think Callahan survives this either. I don't think he survives this because they're not getting better. All he's done is change to a running screen offense. That's not what got him the job. Just like Heupel, what he's doing in Knoxville right now, the style of offense he's running, that's not what hired him. It was air raid, big chunks. So I don't see him surviving this either. And I'll hang up and see what you have to say. Thank you.
So I appreciate your call. The reason why I think if Brian Callahan doesn't make it throughout the year, the reason I think he's not going to make it after the year is because I think the Titans are going to go in an organizational shift. That the Titans are going to say, okay, we tried the Carthon thing. We tried to make it better by bringing in Brinker to babysit. We tried by getting him as coach. We put in his quarterback. We spent money in the free agent market, and we went from – man, you know, we were a team that thought that we could compete to we suck. And we've seen enough of it. And so it is what it is. So we're going to go get somebody that has experience in here that's not going to get up there and say the ball didn't bounce their way. We're going to get a general manager in here who knows football and is not about his own hat brand. You know, that's what, like, and I can see the Titans doing that and saying, hey, what we don't want to do is we don't want to do what we did last time where we had a head coach who was not hired by this general manager, and they didn't get along, and so we're going to let the new GM we hire pick his coach. If it's not that, then I think Brian Callahan stays no matter what, because he's nice. And again, they want collaboration. They value collaboration and everybody feeling good about themselves and using buzzwords like analytics. They like that more than they like competence. Like, did they not know that they didn't have a right tackle? I did. You did. Some of you didn't. Some of you were like, Bill Callahan. Yeah, okay. Jim is up next on Vandy. Thank you for calling, Jim. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Jared, I'm glad that after 3 hours of this show, we are finally discussing the best football team in the state of Tennessee, and that would be the Vanderbilt Commodores. Better than the Titans, better than the Vols, better than the Tigers over in Memphis. Jared,
you need to stop talking that trash about the Vols unless you think you're actually going to beat them.
Oh, we are going to drag them across the field at First Bank Stadium on Dudley Field, Jared. You know the vibes. And Jared, game, respect, game. I understand and I acknowledge you for trying to spin zone that you were right and reverse rat poisoned Vandy and Diego Pavia, but you just got to admit that you were wrong.
I wasn't trying to do that, by the way. It just happened.
Oh, no, Jared. It's okay. Spin zone. Hey, game recognized game here, Jared. I know.
I was not trying to say something game that would motivate Diego Pavia. I was saying what I thought, and apparently.
No, and you were wrong. You're spin zoning it to be like you were, like you did them a favor. You're not familiar with this Vandy team. You're not familiar with Diego Pavia. The boys got some dogs on the team. This is a different Vandy team.
I never said
Diego
they didn't
Pavia
have dogs.
For Heisman. It was always the Doors. It was always Clark Lee. It was always Vanderbilt.
You know what? Maybe
Diego
you're right. Thank
Pavia
you for your call,
for
Jim.
Heisman.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe they'll beat UT. I would pick UT today, but that's – and by the way, I thought it was a disgraceful performance by Tennessee. And I thought it was disgraceful that Billy Napier didn't go for two. But again, I mean, I'm just telling you, all I know is what I was told was that, again, a coach on the staff went to Pavia and said, hey, they compared you to the Hawk Tua girl on the radio. And Pavia went, you know, stewed about it by himself in the corner and then went out there and played great. Maybe Pavia plays great no matter what. I don't know. I just tell you what I was told. That being said, it wasn't like my segment on Friday was a segment to motivate the boys. It wasn't that. I said it because I thought it. I was scared to death. Vanderbilt was going to overlook Kentucky. And by the way, it was great listening to the Kentucky radio broadcast. Oh, my God. They were so butthurt. Like, anytime Vandy would get a first down, I was like, gosh, every time they need 7 yards, they get eight. I mean, just every time. We are just not playing with the discipline that we need to. It was quite enjoyable. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
This is a defense. They get Kenny Moore back, so he's out there. But a defense that has given up big passing numbers to wide receivers outside the numbers this season. Can Levis and Company take advantage of some of that? Levis here, going to take his shot, throws into a crowd, and it is picked. Julian Blackman with a snatch for Indianapolis. Levis just throwing it up, and Blackman making the easy pick. Well, Levis, watch Levis at the top of his drop and how long he's staring right here. And then now he's looking here, but now look how long he pats it. He pats it and he pats it and he pats it. That's an eternity. So Blackman playing center field, he knows as soon as Levis looks that way, if he doesn't launch it and get rid of it, he gives Blackman too much time to get a head start and break on that pass. A critical, critical error trying to get the ball outside, but he gave him way too much.
That was the Will Levis interception. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but during training camp, the Will Levis perfume de mayonnaise came out. And everybody thought, ha, 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 this is so funny. And I said, I don't like it. I said, I don't like it. I said, why do this to yourself? I said, I almost feel like a parent. Like, why set yourself up for this? Oh, Jared, just have fun. Oh, Jared, he needs to take advantage of his marketing. Oh, Jared, he. Not so funny now, is it? And I said, if you don't play well, people are going to hold this over your head. Today on the most popular show on ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, let it fly.
You must be new to the Will Levis party. Because if you know anything
watching
about
the
this party,
commercials.
They're not very good.
How the hell he get these commercials then, man?
He eats
I
the
mean,
man.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with America.
He's got taste
that's the problem
like
with
Dan
America right there. Right there is the problem with America. We got to stop rewarding mediocrity. You understand what I'm trying to say? You should be able to accomplish it. How you going to get a mayonnaise commercial? You understand? And you looking like, and you playing like that. I mean, come on.
I mean, Stephen A. Smith's just saying like, we got to make fun of him on this one. I try to tell you. Cam is up next on Amy Adams Strunk. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Cam.
Yo, Jerry, what's up, man? Hey, so all my buddies and all my other fans, friends and everything, they all tell me the same thing. So I don't want you to tell me the same thing. I want you to think of something different to tell me when I ask you this question, okay? Between Mularkey and Vrabel and now the Callahan years and all this stuff, there's one common thread, and it's Amy Adams drunk. She's a terrible owner. How do we get rid of her?
I mean, I don't think you can.
I knew you were going to say that. The Steve Jobs, how did they do that?
I mean, I hate to say it. Cam, thank you for your call. I hate to say it, but, like, you know, Jed York, when they went through the Harbaugh thing, and then they had Jim Tom Sula for a year, and then they had Chip Kelly for a year, and they fired him, and they hired Kyle Shanahan. Jed York said, hate to say it, but owners don't get fired. I mean, if owners could get fired, you think you have it bad. You think the New York Knicks would have fired Jim Dolan by now? So, I mean, that's not going to change. And, again, I've said this. I've seen, for a five-year period, Amy Adams Strunk be a good owner. So I know she can do it. But she ain't doing it now. The Commodore Hour. Congrats to them. The Commodore Hour is next. Stillman & Company. We'll see everybody live from Bridgestone Arena tomorrow at 2.